apprehend God in all things, for God is in all things. Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. Every creature is a word of God. If I spent enough time with the tiniest creature, even a caterpillar, I would never have to prepare a sermon. So full of God is every creature. It's by Meister Eckhart, a 13th century German mystic and scholar. Take a moment just to reflect on that. Every single creature is full of God, can tell us about God, can reveal God to us. Think about your closest relationships, the people represented in those relationships. They reveal God to you. Think of the animals you encounter during your day, pets or wildlife. They reveal God to you. Think of people who influence you. They reveal God to you. Caterpillars. Do you know how many times I've talked about someone being in the goo? Like, I'm talking about the way a person is in between a caterpillar and a butterfly. They're in the middle of a huge transition, totally untethered. It's a confusing and frustrating and isolating place that leads to something better. They're in the goo. Caterpillars reveal God to us. Every single creature is full of God. I wonder what might shift in our lives and in our world if we looked for God in each other, if we honored God in the people we love, in the people who annoy us, in the wildlife we encounter, in the world around us. Don't you think our capacity to be curious, creative, and compassionate would increase? That thought makes me want to lean into this idea and explore it more, and I hope it does the same thing to you, because that's what we're going to do today. We're wrapping up our series based on the book by Richard Peace called Noticing God. We've discussed the ways we experience God in mystical encounters and in ordinary life. We've looked at how God shows up in a still small voice and through the power of community and the church. And today we're going to be talking about how God shows up in creation, in culture, and in creativity. Now, if I had to guess, people are going to generally fall into one of two categories. Like, either you hear this and you're like, oh, that's like a step too far. Like, that's a little much. Or you're thinking, finally, nature is the one place I ever really noticed God. Wherever you're at in that, I want to provide some handles for us for this content. There are a few different paths to noticing God in creation and culture and creativity. The first is the way of effect. How does what you're seeing affect you? When you see an amazing sunrise and you just have to stop and stare, when you hike for a view and then you just take it all in, when you have the right gear, but the air is cold and the ground is still and a hush falls over the world and everything seems brighter with a fresh coat of snow, a piece of art takes your breath away. The colors or shape of a sculpture evoke a feeling, a song moves us to tears. We encounter God in the way creation, culture, or creativity affects us. The second is the way of intellect. This is what happens when we seek to probe the deeper mysteries of creation, and then we bump up against the Creator. When we consider the geological processes that led to the formation of mountains, or the ways that certain materials mix together to make certain pigments and paints. It's when we consider the ways that people make meaning out of life together, we look into the mysteries and glimpse the Creator. And the third is the way of the artist. This is the way in which the very act of creation puts us in touch with the Spirit, so that both the artist and the viewer are moved beyond themselves. This is the restoration you experience when you take time to create. It's the way you begin to notice beauty as you create it. It's the way you experience God's love as you express what's inside through art. Now, many of us experience all three of these things. Some of us more naturally experience one over the other. And I think that what you naturally experience can change over time. There might be seasons of your life when the way of intellect comes really naturally, and other times when you begin to engage the Spirit as an artist. So let's stop here for a chat question. As you reflect on these three paths to noticing God, the way of effect, of intellect, of the artist, which one or ones resonate with you? Take a minute and talk about it. No matter what path feels most natural to you, I hope that today's message is an encouragement and a challenge. I pray that we all learn something new together as we explore what it means to notice God in creation, in culture, in creativity. And we're going to start with noticing God in creation. Now, sometimes it's easy for me to talk about creation as just another way of saying nature, like saying I went all over creation looking for that thing. But when I stop and reflect, I notice that the word creation is a reminder of the Creator, the God we serve as a creator, the creator. Now, I'm not going to speculate on how God creates today. I'm not going to guess at how God influenced the processes that we observe through science. I'm going to leave that to the scientists. We're starting here from a basic assumption that somehow God is responsible for the creation of the universe. And Richard Peace notes, noticing God in the wonder of creation is a rather different journey than attempting to use the creation as an argument for God's existence. So we're doing the first thing today. We're noticing God in the wonder of creation, not the second thing. So we're not using creation as an argument for God's existence. Again, I'm going to leave that to the scientists. But noticing God in the wonder of creation, that can be so powerful. Think back to your last meaningful experience in nature. Maybe it was a sunrise that took your breath away. Maybe it was the peace you experienced as you sat next to the river and listened to it flow. Maybe it was the awe you felt at the ocean or on the top of a mountain. Pick a memory. For me, it would be a trip that Pastors Tom and Mark and I just went on to Lake Huron recently. I forgot my coat that week, so I didn't spend a whole lot of time outside, but I loved watching the sun play over the lake. Now recall your memory and sink into it. Remember what you felt. Beauty, power, intricacy, elegance, order, and creation can evoke strong emotional reactions like awe, wonder, delight, longing, deep stillness, even reverence. It's a short step from awe in response to creation to even deeper awe for the Creator. The emotions we feel when we encounter creation are an invitation for us to experience deeper awe for the Creator, which is another way to describe the way of effect. If you see creation and your mind engages, like thinking about the weather patterns that cause the clouds to form just so, or the movement of the earth that creates the mountain ranges, that would be the way of intellect. And if a beautiful landscape inspires you to recreate it in some way, that would be the way of the artist. Now, I love how the Apostle Paul talks about creation and faith and how they intersect. He said, the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. And then there's a place in the Old Testament where the psalmist reflects on creation, saying, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display God's craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. There's something here about the nature of God that's revealed in creation. God's bigness, God's precision, God's creativity. And the second place we're noticing God today is in culture. So in all of the pieces of God's creation, there's one that reflects God's image, one that reflects the nature of God more than anything else, and that is humanity. Richard Peace says, perhaps the most amazing aspect of God's work as creator is God's creation of human beings. We're created in the image of God, and as such, bear the marks of God in us and upon us. And one such mark is our ability to create. It's in the midst of that creativity that we touch the divine. I love the symmetry here. God as creator creates humanity in God's image. And so then we have the ability to create. When we're creative, when we create, we reflect God's nature as creator. We create art, stories, film, architecture, systems, space. Like, you might not consider yourself creative, but I bet there's something in your life that you create, even if it's Excel spreadsheets. Have you ever seen an Excel spreadsheet done by someone who really knows what they're doing? Like, I can manage a few equations, but like, if you really want to be impressed, go follow Excel Dictionary on Instagram. She shows you how to create all kinds of graphs, how to sort complicated information, how to extract information from pictures. It's amazing. That is a kind of creating. And then there's something that happens when humans interact with each other and interact with creation. They develop culture. Culture is what we humans make of creation. Our cultural products give testimony to the reality of God when we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, just like creation, culture doesn't prove that God exists, but wow. When you step back and observe cultural artifacts, it's hard not to marvel at humanity. Think about those moments when you step back and think, who came up with that? Like, have you ever watched a person crochet and just marveled at how they get the hook and the yarn to move over and over to create, and then a chocolate dipped strawberry? Like, if you're the person crocheting, that would be like the way of the artist. Did you know that Black enslaved Americans would braid their hair to create maps that led to freedom? I marvel at the ingenuity. Now, I recognize that those types of braids were born out of distress and oppression, and I don't celebrate the conditions that led to that, but I celebrate the brilliance and the creativity to use hair for freedom. Now, sometimes conversations like this can start to feel a bit esoteric or like artsy-fartsy. Am I the only one who grew up hearing that phrase? But one really accessible medium is movies and films. They're a great way to generate conversations about religious topics. A Man Called Otto is a story about death and aging and compassion. Doctor Who is a BBC television series about an alien hero whose weapons are two hearts and a sonic screwdriver. And the doctor demonstrates a value for life that challenges us to grow in our compassion for each other. Barbie is a movie that explores the way that misogyny has damaged both men and women, restricting us to parts that cut us off from ourselves and each other. Film and movies are an invitation for us to reflect on our humanity. Even when they're stories about aliens, we have a chance to reflect on what makes humans human. We have a chance to reflect on themes of redemption and hope, forgiveness, and love. One of my personal favorite examples of this is from the book that was turned into a musical and that has had a couple of different movie adaptations, Les Miserables. Did you know that this is coming to Wharton this season? I'm super excited. It's a story that's focused on a man called Jean Valjean. And at the beginning of the story, the audience sees him being released from imprisonment, where he's been for almost 20 years for stealing a loaf of bread. But he's released on something that's kind of like parole, and he's marked as an ex-convict. So he finds it nearly impossible to get work or lodging. And eventually a bishop offers him food and shelter. Feeling hopeless, Valjean leaves in the middle of the night, stealing the bishop's silver. He's caught by police and he lies to them, saying that the bishop gave him that silver. When the police drag him back to the bishop not only corroborates the lie, but then takes it a step further, asking, "Why didn't you also take the candlesticks?" With no crime to pursue, the police let Valjean go. And this moment marks a turning point in his life. He takes the silver and the candlesticks and he starts a new life. It's an extraordinary scene marked by mercy and grace, and I cry every time I see it. That's the wave effect. And when I watch the show and marvel at the actor's stamina, the mechanics of the set, I slip into that way of intellect. The power of film, using story, metaphor, sight, and sound, can open us up to noticing God in new and surprising ways. Music, literature, painting, sculpture, dance, theater, television, fashion, they all push us beyond ourselves to reflect on our understanding of ourselves and our place in the world. The human imagination is filled with the God who is creator. So let's stop for another chat question. What's one place that you have noticed God in culture? music, literature, painting, film, dance, theater, fashion, that's something else. Take a minute and talk about it. Let's look now to our final topic, noticing God in creativity. And remember that humanity is made in God's image. And since God is a creator, when we create, we're reflecting God's image and nature back to God and to the world. The act of creation itself is often spoken of as such an opportunity for noticing God. Now, when creativity comes up, some of us may rush to say, well, I'm just not creative. In fact, that's something that comes up when we pastors get together. Pastor Mark and I joke about how uncreative our creative planning meetings are when Pastor Tom can't make them. And in that context, there's some truth to those jokes. The specific kind of creativity required for planning worship service experiences is not my strong suit. But before any of us rush to saying, well, I'm not creative and therefore I can't relate to this segment, I want us to pause. Setting up science experiments is an expression of creativity. Building things is an expression of creativity. Planning trips and vacations can be an expression of creativity. Baking is an expression of creativity. Organizing a space is an expression of creativity. Planning the grocery list and then organizing it so you don't have to circle the same aisle 5 different times, that's an expression of creativity. Fixing your car is an expression of creativity. Running sound or video is an expression of creativity. Playing restaurant with your kids is an expression of creativity. I would bet that everyone is creative in some part of their lives. Now, maybe you've never categorized your creativity in that way, but I bet it's there. I would say that when we consider creativity in this way, the ways of intellect and the artist become difficult to separate. Because when you set up a science experiment, you're almost definitely engaging intellectually, and you're also creating. The way of effect may happen when you step back to experience the thing that's been created. In the creative process, we're touching God in us and around us. Thus, art is a response to God. It's praise of God. It's an offering to God. It's teaching about God. It's the fruit of listening to God. It's a celebration of God. What keeps you from engaging God in this way? Now, lately, my go-to creative process is painting. And there are 2 things that can keep me from painting at any given time. The first thing is practical. The mess and hassle of getting out all the supplies and putting them away. The paper and the paints and the brushes and the water cup and the paper towels. And the best place for me to paint is at the dining room table, which is, surprisingly enough, where we tend to dine. Which means that all the supplies need to be cleaned up and put away before a meal. And the second thing is something like comparison or a sense of inadequacy. I look at other people I know who are naturally talented and create the things they create, Nathan, and I think, I can't do anything like that. Or if people saw what I make and compared it to that person's work, they would laugh at me. So I look for something else to do. And here's the thing, maybe people would say that. Probably not, though. Most people I know are pretty generous and kind. But even if they did, what I enjoy is the process of creating more than the product itself. It's giving myself permission to be bad at something and engaging it for enjoyment over perfection. That's incredibly freeing. It's a stretch for me. I'm sort of a perfectionist. Somehow creativity helps me to trust in God's love for me, and God's delight in me more deeply than I did before. I wonder what those things are for you. Let's stop for another chat question. Where do you get creative, and what keeps you from being creative? Take a minute and talk about it. As we wrap up this series, I want to take some time to reflect on the different topics we've explored and the things we've learned. The foundation for everything that we've talked about has been this. It's not just that we want to know about God. We want to know God. Our prayer throughout the series is that you would come to know God more intimately, more personally, more truly by noticing God in your own lives. And as a reminder, we're consistently asking ourselves, is this really God? With these discernment practices, we notice God and then we respond to God. And the space between noticing and responding is where we can stop to engage that discernment practice. Sometimes this will happen in the blink of an eye. And our response is just receiving God's love and encouragement. And sometimes this will happen over days or weeks as we read, discuss, and reflect. And we started the series with a message on noticing God in mystical encounters. These are like those flashpoints, events that are difficult to describe. They're pretty fast. They're initiated by God. Most likely, they're seared into your memory. And then in our second message, we discuss how God shows up in ordinary life. We learned about the prayer of examine, which is a way of reviewing the previous day to find moments to be grateful for, to see where God was present, and to notice if there are things that we should take responsibility for. We also learned about Ignatian contemplation and realized that there's an app called Pray As You Go that will walk you through a 15-minute prayer every day. In our third week, we learned about how God sometimes speaks to us in a still, small voice. And we remembered there how important it is to do our best to discern whether God is really speaking to us, knowing that we won't always know for sure. But if what we're hearing is consistent with God's word and confirmed by God's people and also bear God's fruit, then it does no harm to claim it as God's voice. Last week, we looked at the ways that God's presence is noticed in the community of God and in the church through things like small groups and receiving communion together. And this week, we discussed how God is noticed in creation and in culture and in creativity. You know, there's a way in which all of these things work together. Like, you don't just experience God in mystical encounters. You also need a God of ordinary life. And you don't just hear the still small voice. You also need to experience God in community and in the church. And you don't just notice God in creation. You also meet God in creativity. They all work together. And I'll tell you, there are bits and pieces of those things throughout this very message. Like, we pray and gather community to pull together ideas for the sermon series for a year. And then we get creative as we look at the calendar and plan ahead. And we picked this book and this series back in the fall. I shared a version of this message with Pastors Tom and Mark the first week of March, and they gave me feedback to help me get more creative and improve the message. And then right now I filmed with Randy. He's taking it a few steps further. It's a whole process. And we remember, apprehend God in all things. For God is in all things. Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. Every creature is a word of God. If I spent enough time with the tiniest creature, even a caterpillar, I would never have to prepare a sermon. So full of God is every creature. Our prayer is that through this series, you have gained some practical tools for noticing God in your own life, to notice God in even the tiniest creatures, even a caterpillar, and that the more you notice God in your own life, the more you're going to experience the transformation of the Spirit and become more like Jesus. Our prayer truly is that you would know God rather than just know about God.